Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. It's time for another episode of the Truther Therapy Sessions. That's right, we are now episode 112. It really feels like yesterday I was doing episode 100. But here I am. It's actually been a while since I've done a show. I've actually had a whole week off from being on, shall we say, you know, doing this whole live thing that we do right here. Because I did have some unfortunate events. I don't know how to describe it really, but people who subscribed to me probably saw the post. People in my Telegram probably know what happened, but my son got very ill, my four-year-old son, my oldest, and first signs of illness, I literally called the doctor, and I went to A&E that night after having a quick examination, because we were in a minor car crash. It wasn't really a car crash, a tire burst, and we ended up on the curb. So it was a bit of a minor jostle, you know. And we were worried that my son had had some internal damage because he suddenly got a fever immediately afterwards. So after going through the whole thing, thinking maybe he's like damaged because he complained of a pain just above his belly button, we kind of rushed him to hospital just to be sure, you know, because there might be some internal damage. And the doctors did nothing. They kept us in for 8 hours and sent him home with no tests done at all. No bloods, no nothing, no x-ray, nothing. Just felt around a little bit and said, eh, he seems all right, send him home, whatever, it'll be right. Anyway, 2 days later, he's not okay. He's basically not got any better. His fevers just keep happening and we can't keep them down. He's collapsed. He's practically looks dead. He can barely move. So we're at the state of, right, was taken back into hospital immediately. Something's horribly wrong here. We were pretty certain, we could tell he's got an infection, a big infection. The fever's obviously a sign of that. It's unrelated to whatever the car crash had nothing to do with it. He's clearly got something wrong with his lungs, because he was complaining about breathing and suddenly got shoulder pain. And I kind of knew enough from my history of my brother almost dying of pneumonia that he probably has pneumonia from the sounds of it. That's what these back pains usually appear when you've got something wrong with your lungs, like that, like an infection. Anyway, we go through the whole system. Hours again to get back into the same room we were in originally. And the doctors have a listen. And they say, yeah, he probably has a chest infection. We'll just send him home with some antibiotics and we'll see what happens. And I was like, I'm not leaving this bloody hospital until you do some actual real tests and give me a diagnosis. I am not leaving until you give me a diagnosis. It's like, oh, well, you know, let's see what I can do. I'll go talk to a consultant. And next thing I know, they come back saying, okay, we've got you an x-ray. We're going to do a blood test. It's kind of like, oh, what suddenly changed your tune, you know? Blood test came back, extremely high infection markers. And the x-ray, after we got it done, came back. He has pneumonia. So we are worried, panicking. Like I said, almost losing my brother to pneumonia has left a bit of a traumatic scar in my own mind. So I'm here petrified, worried my son's going to die, basically. Because he's only four, you know, and pneumonia is pretty serious. We were angry that the system let it get this far. It should have got caught 2 days prior to this. It never should have got to a point where he could almost die, you know. And then it took 4 hours for him to even receive any treatment whatsoever. I had to kick off to make it happen, and it became a thing. But he responded very well, and he's back to himself now. He's back home. Finishing off his course of antibiotics orally rather than through IV, and he's back to his old self, and it seems like we just dodged a bullet and everything's okay now, and it's a weight off our shoulders. Now we're just looking to see if my one-year-old cat caught it or not, or if me and my wife have got it. So we're waiting to look for any of our own signs, but we're not really feeling too hot ourselves, but we're not pneumonia bad, let's put it that way. So that's kind of me. That's been my week. A horrible week. And I've expressed a lot on this channel. The end of the year for my family is terrible. Every single year, something just awful happens. One terrible thing after another, you know, just keeps hitting us over and over and over again. Just a horrible, stress-inducing, possible fatal stuff just keeps happening. Endlessly from October onwards. It begins in October and it runs all the way through just to December, and then January everything seems to get a little bit better. then everything's okay. And then we get lulled into a false sense of security that everything's wonderful. And we make plans, and then those plans come shattering down again in October around this time of year. It just keeps happening. It's over and over and over again. You know, I remember driving home the night he was admitted into hospital, because my wife stayed the first night, just pleading to God and praying desperately, like, please just save my son. Like, I just make everything okay. Like, I cannot bear the weight of losing him, all of it, you know. And then the next morning when I came to see my son, he was brand new. Completely looked like a brand new person, completely healed, like from just one night of antibiotics. I thought maybe my prayers were answered. Apparently he woke up at 3 o'clock that morning just talking for England to the nurse, you know. So maybe my prayers were answered. I'm gonna hope that's what happened, you know. But the antibiotics definitely worked, that's to say the least. But yeah, the end of the year, man. Anyone else feel that? Happen to anybody else? Is the back end of the year always loaded with just misery and pain, or is it just me and my family? Like, I don't know, but I'm here now. We made it. Everything's okay. Crisis averted. Let's check the chat. Let's see who we've got. Why do I have a crown? What is this? Something new? Says Val. P. Oh, I think you were the top fan. You're a top fan. That's why you get a special little crown if you make enough comments, I think. So all fight for the crown. Everybody get engaging. Yeah, it's absolutely, yeah, it is definitely that. Because it didn't do Jack. Okay, maybe not. Oh, thanks for the super chat there. I can't pronounce your name, was it? Arjejwar, hey, I assume that means something, but thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate that. I do have some interesting stuff I want to kind of talk with you guys about today. I've got this thought going on in my brain, and I need to just pass it out, because I don't, it's not a fully formed thought yet, okay? But I've got an idea. I've got like a rough idea that I kind of want to understand better. And maybe it'll become something, maybe it won't. But I want to share it with you guys first. It's just something that's, I need to formulate it. So I have this tip in my Tips for Truth. It's kind of, you've got to say it out loud, okay, to understand what you believe. Voice it, say it, so you can hear yourself saying it. And then you can ask yourself, do I actually believe that? Is that what I actually think? And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to practice what I preach today. I'm going to do this. I'm going to just say some unformulated thoughts, because I have this image in my head of a possible future I see coming that I kind of want to just pontificate on, to use a fancy word. Let's do that. But yeah, quickly, let's just have a quick see who we've got here. We've got Wendy in the house. Thanks for being here, Wendy. If I keep chatting, Paul has been a great discovery, says Eric Malcolm. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining me. Snow is an acronym shit no one wants. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of snow has been falling. That's right. People talking about how much they love snow. That's nice. That's nice. I like the new setup. Yeah, I think this is a nice angle, isn't it? I bought this ivy plant from the garden center yesterday. I'm quite happy. I need a nice little pot for it. But for now, I'll just let it do its thing over there. And I've got my nice new neon sign. I'm hiding behind the plant here, the strip for the wire, which is underneath some masking tape I painted over in green. A real job has been done on this. If I just jostle this over a little bit, it'll hide it even more. Yeah, there we go. You'll never know. You would never know, would you? Movie magic, set magic going on here. Prayers, Paul, and thanks for the prayers. I appreciate it. Cal Paul is a winner. Even Cal Paul was not keeping down this fever in the end when it got to its extreme. I knew it was bad when we first brought him in, but they just sent me home. They were not doing anything. They were useless. And then they let it get to pneumonia. So you best believe they've got some comeuppance coming their way. I'm not going to let that slide. I'm not. The inefficiencies of the NHS terrify me every time I have to deal with them, honestly. And I never leave feeling good about the whole situation every single time. And my wife is pissed and she is not going to let this go. And I'm not going to stop her. Absolutely not. And I'm not going to let it go either. They almost killed my child. Absolutely not. Sorry, the chat just sprung away from me quickly there and I've lost everybody's chat. Let's see what's going on. It really is too damn tiresome, says Pepe. It is. The end of the year is rough for everybody, I think, but I'm feeling it this year. I'm telling you right now, I am feeling it this year. This time of year is rough indeed. So it's not me. It's not me. Good. Misery and pain, Paul. You are not alone. Absolutely. Everyone's feeling it. Let's just stay in prayer. That's all we can do, isn't it? Thank God your son is okay. My family has a similar experience every year with a strange concentration of sickness or plain bad luck near the end of the year. Yeah, it definitely is. Antibiotics do wonders for it. Yeah, the antibiotics kicked in hard. And it was great to see that it was responding to antibiotics because that means it was bacterial. If it was viral, we'd just have to see it through and hope for the best. And that's the worst case scenario. So I was thankful it was bacterial at the end because we have antibiotics. And thank God for antibiotics because they do. They clearly work. They almost didn't work for my brother, though, because he was too far gone. But thankfully, we got this to when it was early. So I'm happy about that. I did lose my steak tongs. That sucks. Same as any other month. What do you think about the Orthodox Church? Ooh, this is not a Q&A session, this one. This is the truth therapy session. I am not unpacking that right now. Absolutely not. Maybe another time. I miss the bird and con hat, though. Well, the con hat is up here. He's got his own special little place, you see. He is here in spirit. Hanging over everything, so I've not forgot about him. He's peeking through there, can you see? It's just this, I can't get everything in the shot. I'm limited. Maybe I'll use this front panel to put the hat or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm still playing around with this setting, but I kind of like this angle right now. I like getting the blinds in just a little bit there. I do enjoy that. So it's looking good. I'm not using my funky little coloured light right now, though, to illuminate this corner. Maybe I should just to funk it up a little bit more. Give me a second. What have I got? I've got something around here. I need a lead long enough to do that. This is not long. Is this long enough? Could this do it? This could do it. Give me a second. Let's see if this works. Let's just plug this in here.
Right, see it.
A surge of lighting. Yeah, there we go. Let's plug this in. And that is not powerful enough to turn it on, apparently. Whoops.
Must have done something wrong.
Let's see if I can fix that. Nope.
Let's try this one.
Nope. Okay, so that was a waste of money. Never mind.
Better look next time.
If I had a plug, it would work, but I don't have a plug, so whatever. But normally there's a bit of colour just oozing away in this corner, but I forgot to do that tonight, so never mind. Love the new neon sign. Good stuff, thank you. Sailor Boy Troy has had a super chat. Saw your show on Strange Brew. Great convo. Hope we can talk soon. Your work lines up with mine, and I got there with DMT as well. Keep telling the truth. Okay, Sailor Boy Troy, send me an email at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and we can arrange a conversation on a Sunday or Wednesday that suits you sometime in the new year, because I'm fully booked up until then, I'm afraid. My wife says, screw the NHS. That's right. That's putting it politely. I went easy on them with my description there. Yeah, and no unsolicited medical advice. I'm not interested. I don't want any medical advice. Right, guys. So, yeah, there we go. That was my day. I've said hello to everybody. So I may as well jump straight into this because what else am I going to do? What else is this show? But what else are you even here for, you know? I've had some ideas. I've had some thoughts. And this is probably going to get clipped into its own separate little video. It's something I tend to do from the live shows. So for people listening to the clip, this is from the Truth of Therapy session, episode 112, if you're wondering where this came from. But the clip might be a bit more succinct because it might get rid of some of my ums and ahs and random silences where I'm trying to figure out what it is I'm trying to say here. I've come up with this term called the truth of singularity. I've coined it today in my own head, and I quickly made a thumbnail about it. You can see the thumbnail here. I had a lot of fun with it, as you can see. Got a little tinfoil hat there. We've got the Illuminati symbol in the hand. You know, so yeah. Now, the singularity, first of all, for people who don't know, is a term popularized recently for the transhumanist community, though it is actually something to do with the event horizon of a black hole and the singularity as well, and that's a whole other thing. But we're not talking about that. I'm talking about it kind of like in a metaphorical way, comparison to the transhumanist idea of a singularity. And Ray Kurzweil is kind of like the popular guy who's kind of come up with these phraseologies and ideas to talk about transhumanism. And 2045, I think, was the original date. That may have changed since, because this was a decade ago when this was kind of announced. But what they're hoping for around 2045 is the point where technology converges to a point called the singularity, where after that point, nothing will ever be the same ever again. Everything changes when technology is advanced enough to reach this point of called the singularity. And it's where everything kind of all comes together. So neuroscience, biological science, mechanical engineering sciences, all the sciences, whatever field that's in, reaches this apex point of advancement where when they all converge together in one form, they create basically a new god in a sense, or a means where humanity can transcend out of being human anymore to the next level. They call it Human Plus, or H Plus is a common symbol of the transhumanism. And mankind will merge with machine in some kind of biomechanical capacity, or perhaps even through some kind of consciousness transfer capacity, to become something else, something new. Mankind will grab the reins of human evolution and take control for the first time and become something completely different. And this is the singularity. This is what they're aiming towards with their technological advancements. This is where they want to get to, because that means they can then live forever. That's the end goal, to be able to live forever as gods. It's the promise from the Garden of Eden, from the serpent, the original promise, you know, ye will be as gods, knowing good and evil, you know. And God just doesn't want you to have that stuff, because he doesn't want you to be like him, because he's scared of you. He's just jealous. He's petty, you know. He doesn't want you to rise. He wants to keep you down, that kind of attitude. Well, you know, they're working towards rising without God, but using knowledge to get to be like God and to live forever, eternally in a body of our own creation. So this is talking about robotics and artificial intelligence becoming like synergized to the point where they can create a brand new vessel that's better than human, faster, stronger, more powerful, more processing power than the human brain, all kind of embodied into this machine bio vessel of some kind, in which the elites or the rich and the powerful can move their consciousness into that new body and live forever as like a ruling class, in a sense. This will not be for everybody, okay? They might sell it for everybody to get the funding and so forth, but this will not be for everybody when this happens. This will be for the self-proclaimed elites of the world who will get to live forever as a robot, basically, lording over all of humanity and the lesser biological beings who haven't yet transcended out of their own bodies and flesh to the next level, like us, you know, that kind of attitude. They will see themselves as far beyond us in every capacity. So that's transhumanism, if you hadn't understood it, the philosophy of transhumanism. That's what they're aiming towards, and they call it this singularity. So I was thinking about that, and that's a video in its own right. It really is, and I've made videos about this, but that's something that they're working towards. And then I was thinking about us. Here we are, you know, passing through videos online, trying to figure out the truth, trying to get to the bottom of things, trying to understand just what it is going on. Like, what are they doing to us? What's the end goal here? Where's this going? What's the point? What's the aim? You know, we're trying to understand the conspiracy as it is. And things have changed a lot. And I did tell you, I'm going to be a little bit all over the place because I'm thinking out loud here, okay? But I kind of have a rough idea of where I want this to end. But things have changed a lot since I became a truther, since I woke up to the realities of the secret society control mechanisms, the Satanism, the Luciferianism, you know, and the banking control, the school control, the health control, the everything is controlled, you know, to push us towards this grander narrative, towards the New World Order, this technocratic utopia that they want to create, in which they are the elites and there's a serf slave class at the end of it all, you know. But it'll be an age of Luciferian doctrine of man will be as gods, you know, and man will transcend out of the physical drudgeries and pain and misery of being in the flesh into a new form of being of some kind. Goes hand in hand with transhumanism, as I mentioned earlier, but it'll have this quasi-religious sense to it, you know, of spiritism, spirituality without God, in a sense, a human spiritualism. It's hard to explain. It's the new age with a more scientific spin. That's what they're aiming for, but it's pure 100% unadulterated Luciferianism at its core, you know, being as God, above God, placing yourself in above the thrones of God in your own mind. That's Luciferianism. But people know that's what they're doing. They'll have their own name for it, you know. So yeah, I was thinking about all of that. And it was odd 10 years ago for people like me to say this stuff. Everything I just said is, by like 12, 15 years ago standards, batshit insane. Let's section this guy and lock him up. He's clearly just a lunatic. Okay, that's what it was 10, 15 years ago. But now I can say this stuff boldly and as it is on a platform like YouTube or anywhere really, even to people just at the pub probably, and they'd look at me and go, yeah, you're probably right. Apathetically, you know, it's kind of like so beaten down from the mind control trauma events that have been instigated onto us since the last decade, to the point where they're like, yeah, sounds about right. That's probably what they're doing to us. You know, I think people have come to like terms with the reality around them to some level, and many are ignoring it on many levels and trying to pretend it isn't the case. But deep down, they know that's what's happening. They know that they're being controlled by a ruling class of elites who consider themselves better than everybody else. I think they kind of like, if they don't explicitly just accept that and say, yep, that's what's happening, they'll deny it and say, nah, that's not true. But really they're at home crying to themselves like, yeah, this is probably true. You know, people know now the cat's out of the bag. And it's not that crazy anymore to say these things I've just been saying. We've kind of gone past a threshold, a point of some kind where things have never been the same again. Right? I think we may have hit the truth of singularity. Okay, I think something's happened in the last year or two, and things are not the same in the truth community anymore. Because there is no truth community anymore, really. Everybody's a member now. The community has gotten so big, it's just, there's no distinction anymore between who is and isn't a truther. Everybody knows the truth. Now there's just varying degrees of how people are going to cope or handle knowing the truth. I think we've crossed the singularity point for the truth movement. I really do. People who have been listening to me for a long time, you know, I think people who have watched me grow over the past decade, you know, or maybe if you've been around that long since 2014, you know, probably know what I'm talking about. Because a lot of people here are new. They've come to the truth. They woke up maybe in the past couple of years. I think COVID did a number on people, the whole event. And I think a lot of people woke up in that time zone as well. That was their nexus moment that made them snap out of it, you know. And a lot of new blood has come into the game. But people have been doing this for a while. I think they can feel what I feel. Like, It's not the same. Things aren't like they used to be. And I've joked about this, like in a 2014, 16, 17 period. That was like what we call dubbed the golden age of conspiracy theory. It was in full swing online. Everything was new. We were just discovering crazy truths one after the other, you know what I mean? Biblical cosmology and closed system stuff, alternative history, Mandela effect, just quantum stuff happening all over the place. Like, all the symbols in the media were being exposed. You know, everyone fully understood 9/11 was an inside job by this point. And now it's like, look at all the predictive programming they put in all the media everywhere. Look at all the satanic music industry. It's just bam, 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 bam. Everything was coming out. It was just all being exposed, you know. We were seeing it all with fresh eyes, and it was kind of, we were emboldened and still fringe by this point, but we were loud and we were like, everyone, look over here, look at what we found, you need to see this shit, this is crazy, like this is absolutely insane, but it's real and you need to know this stuff. And we were called everything under the sun, berated, attacked, smear articles here and there, people saying, oh, the crazy conspiracy theorists, oh, the rise of popular conspiracy theories online and how to help your friends and family who are now fallen victim to conspiracy theories online, all these stupid articles coming out. We were like, no, screw you, we're right. And we just kept going and going and going. Call us what you want. Yes, I'm a conspiracy theorist and you should be too, because it's real, because there's a damn conspiracy out there. Like, and we were just like, whatever, balls to the wall, who cares, we're out there just learning the truth and loving every second of it, you know. And it was exciting because it was all real and tangible. And then, you know, as time went on, people started to die, things got real, you know what I mean, like, and moves were being made, power plays were being made. The New World Order, which was this thing we were warning about, was coming into fruition. Like the cashless society stuff was in full swing. Like, things started to happen. Like, and then the lockdown hit, and it's kind of like we're realizing, okay, this is bad now. Like, we were right, and we're upset about it. You know, like, they're making plays now. They're pushing towards their end goal. And I think the reality hit hard for a lot of us. And during that time, I was out of the game, actually. I wasn't even making content from like 2018 onwards, because I was just working as a supermarket manager, you know, and just observing and watching. And I came back into the game, you know, I think it was 2023. I don't know when I came back in. It wasn't that long ago, a few years ago, you know, after quitting that job and everything. And I come back and the Christian truth community is gone. It was dead in the water, really, because a few of the major names had literally just passed away and died. COVID got a few of them, you know, so it says, but whatever. And Gnosticism had kind of taken over. Gnostic Christianity and just general Gnosticism in general, and alchemy and Hermeticism and all that sort of stuff was very popular at that point. And I came back as a Christian voice trying to revive that. And I think more people are back in the game as Christian. I think Christian trutherism is back in full swing now. And I think it's winning, to be honest. I think we've gained the lead. I don't know what to call it. Like, we're louder than ever. You know, I think we've revived it strong and it's come back stronger. And I think there's a strong sense of Christian trutherism out there now in the online community. But it's not, something's different now. And we can sense it, right? The excitement's gone. And it's not like that's a bad thing necessarily, because we shouldn't necessarily be excited about how horrible everything is and what the control next is. But it's not about that. It's more like there's a looming sense in the air that something's different about this. And I can't quite put my finger on it or name it. Necessarily, I can't name what this change or feeling is, but I have this phrase, this truth of singularity, okay? And I think things are going to be very, very different going forward in the truth community now. I think the world stage, the show, has reached a point now where, as I mentioned, everybody knows something's going on. Even if you're not like a conspiracy theorist or a truther of any kind, I haven't even been in like the truth of world as a community. Even the normies know. That's one phraseology you can use. I don't like calling people normies because it's a bit is whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, even like your auntie and your uncle know. even like that, the guy in the office knows now. It's kind of like everybody can just kind of know. Yeah, something's wrong. I think evil people are in control, and they're not even really hiding it anymore. You know what I mean? And what I see now is big channels out there in the world who are like alternative media. So they're not necessarily like conspiracy theorists, but they often talk about the blatant evil coming from like progressive ideological frameworks and institutions like the UN or the EU, or you know, these insane policies governments are forcing on the populace, like ID, digital ID, or mass unfettered immigration. And you get these commentators in the game, don't you, who aren't conspiracy theorists, but they're constantly pointing out the ridiculous nature of the decisions being made by those in power, you know. And they'll rationalize it. And they're in the game of rationalizing, why is this happening to Western civilization? That type of stuff. And they go into the psychology and the philosophers out there about, you know, and they're trying to explain the condition of man. And these people who are doing these things don't really know what they're doing. They think they are the good guys and they are just under the spell or the delusion or the possession of a particular ideological framework. And they are working from that, from their framework. They literally think that they are the good guys and we are the evil Nazi, just evil personified, you know. And it's kind of, they go through this rationalization of why these people are doing bad things to other people, you know. And I'm watching these people thinking like, no, these people are actually genuinely evil, the ones at the top, and they know what they're doing, and they're actually running a plan and they're orchestrating a long term agenda. Okay, this isn't like just testing out ideological frameworks because they believe sincerely this is the best thing for humanity, even though they're wrong. Like, it's not like these are actually just evil people purposely destroying and killing us because they literally worship the devil. Like, that's actually what it comes down to. But you get these commentators out there who can't rationalize like that. They can't go that far, or they're at least scared to be seen saying such things. So they make their living as making commentary, based on the idea that it's just simply, you know, ideological frameworks at play, and our war is really a spiritual war on an ideological level, you know, and it's about ideas battling each other out for dominance and this type of thing. And I feel like those guys over there are one set of type of like truther types, and then there's us over here in this little corner, and we've gone really far the other way. Like, we are 100% like fully convinced and will openly proclaim it's deeper than that. Okay. And in some ways simpler. It's just evil people orchestrating a very evil agenda because they genuinely believe in and follow and worship Satan. It's that simple. And from their rational mind, that other group, they can't understand that, because it, from their perspective, that's crazy. Okay. And they think these people in control are smarter than, they're too smart to believe in the devil. Like, there's no way these world leaders and these people in these institutions and these CEOs believe in the devil. They're too smart for that. Okay. There's no way that's that simple. Like, they can't rationalize it in their own minds that it could possibly be that, because from their perspective, that would be crazy, right? But I think we're getting to that point now where it's becoming more and more obvious that is exactly what's happening. And even these rational thinkers and commentators who talk about the evils of the world from that more psychological standpoint are getting to that point now where it's kind of like, are these people stupid or evil? What's going on? Like, how could they make such awful moves against humanity so regularly? And then they'll say, well, it must be because they'd still believe in social Marxism as the best solution for the utopia. Or are they just evil And they genuinely follow Lucifer and the devil and are trying to implement and orchestrate their new world order. Could it just be that they're just evil and following the script? I think it's getting to that point now where I actually might be able to convince these people that that's really what's going on and you need to catch up. Like, we're not just crazy people in the corner saying, talking nonsense anymore. That's really what's happening, and catch up. And can we, as truthers, shift the conversation towards the reality of this situation now and end this Jordan Peterson, everything's a psychological interpretation or an archetype type of trutherism, and get them down to the brass tacks? God is real. Jesus Christ is real. Demons are real. Devil worshippers are real. And we need to get to grips with this quickly, although nothing's going to change. Can we bridge that gap now? Have we reached, or are we reaching, the truth of singularity? All truth of groups of whatever capacity are now at this point of no return where we're all going to have to get on the same page or nothing's going to change. And are we at that point where this could be a reality now? Where those gaps can be bridged, where common ground can be met, where we can realize whatever you believe, wherever you stand, we are the victim class. We are the ones, the real victims. I don't mean that in like a lefty sense or playing the victim or something like this, or like us against that. I'm talking about the really, we are being socially engineered, like, and traumatized through mass ritual broadcast trauma events and controlled and corralled towards their planned outcomes so they can establish their own fear-based dictatorial control system called the New World Order. Like, can we not just admit that that's happening now? And we really are the victims of this mass psychological warfare that's been happening to us. No matter what faction you sit in, we're all under them. From their perspective, it doesn't matter what we believe, left or right, good or I don't know, religion, whatever religion class you even come under, it doesn't matter what a political class you come under, whatever social, politio, social, economic class you come under, whether you're middle class, upper class, or working class, it doesn't matter, you're under them from their perspective. They do not care about you. You are nothing to them, no matter where you stand or how much, even how much money you have, they do not care. Okay? They have a plan. And you are either useful or a slave. It's one of the two. But you're never equal to them. You're never equal to them. Okay, you're expendable, you're a slave, or you're useful. It doesn't matter. Like, they'll use you whatever. They have an agenda and a plan, and they'll use you either way and discard you once they're finished with you. Can we admit that now? Like, we're all in trouble. And if we don't come together and we don't figure it out, then we are in trouble in the long run. Now look, we have God on our side. We are actually fundamentally, if this is a battle between good and evil, I would like to think we come under the class of good. Okay? Of God. We stand for righteousness, for what is right, the truth, no matter how hard it is, how horrible it is. We believe in the truth, the way, and the life, do we not? Jesus Christ. And without him, there is no truth. There is no desire for truth. There's no need for truth. And he was killed for telling the truth. He was crucified for it. He suffered. He was persecuted. And we will be too for telling the truth. And I think there's enough people, even in those political classes, those psychological classes, those ideological classes, who make those arguments from that point of view, trying to capitulate to the world. Look how smart I am. I have my PhD in psychology, so I have a thing to say. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. You know, still playing that type of game. Like, even they get persecuted when they tell the truth. So I think people now have understood telling the truth in this world will get you in trouble. No matter how crazy you may appear on the surface, whether you've got, well, I wear a suit and tie when I tell the truth, and I show my PhDs when I tell the truth, so take me more seriously. Or it's the crazy screeching people in the corner of the internet like me and some other people on these small channels who are saying, nah, bro, it's demons, you know. Either way, we keep getting persecuted. Persecution is persecution. The truth is still the truth. You know, whether you're just talking about the truth of the horrible things happening to nations on the boots on the ground with immigration, or you're just talking about the spiritual truth of the reality of demons and devils and possession and satanic ritual abuse and the rest of it, the truth is the truth either way, and you get persecuted for telling it in this world. And maybe that common ground now we can use, that shared trauma, can bring us together stronger than ever, and we can reach the truth of singularity, where we come together as one and converge into something new, something better, something useful, something that will actually change the world and cause a real revolution, not a revolt. Not a bloody war, not another banker's war that only profits those who perpetuate it and who build from the ashes their own phoenix that controls the narrative further down their plan. I'm talking about a revolution, a change of heart in the minds and souls and spirits of every human being on this earth, to the point where the kingdom of heaven manifests. A real revolution that not one shot will be fired. No one has to be killed or murdered. In this revolution, all that has to happen is minds have to be changed, set free with the truth. I think we're getting to a point where we could do that. We could do that. It is possible. It is within our grasps. But I do not want their version to happen, where they're going to control the narrative and the movement and create a truther revolt where there's blood. Where there's violence. Because as soon as we play that route, we've lost. They have got something to use against us to then implement change, which will silence us and neuter us for good forever. Because we better not let that violence happen ever again. Let's establish these new laws that makes being a conspiracy theorist illegal or something, whatever means that is, you know, whatever they've done. You know, and I think I was just discussing this on a podcast I was on, but I think they're running scared. I think this crackdown for digital ID and for under 16s can no longer have access to alternative media or social media, and all of these changes that they're trying to push through really fast, I think is a sign that they know that window of opportunity is closing on them rapidly now. Everybody's a truther. Everybody woke up. Everybody's realized it's all bullshit. Everyone's kind of realized, oh no, we've been played. And they know it. So now they're trying to quickly shut it down. And it's not working, is it? They're fumbling over themselves. Everyone's like, no. No, you're not doing that to us. And I think they're a little bit worried. I think they are. I think we've got a cornered animal situation on our hands here. And I know everyone's saying like, oh, there's no hope that we can do. These things just have to come to pass if you're going off the tribulation stuff. And I think, well, look. God's in control. And I think men make plans and God laughs. And I think we can always manifest the kingdom of heaven on earth. Always. Because the kingdom is within. It is. It's within every single one of us. And as long as we walk upright as citizens of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, then it will manifest here on earth. The more people realize their authority and membership in that kingdom. I think it can happen, and I think it is happening, but I think they're trying to control it. I think they want to create this new Christian nationalist movement, which gets mobilized into and militarized into a Deus Vault crusade type Christianity, because they know Christianity is going to have a revival. They knew that was going to happen. I don't think they can stop. I think they know they can't stop it as a counter to the lack of tradition that's happened over the past few decades and the decay of Western tradition and Christianity as a whole. I think this backlash they knew was coming, but they want to control that narrative and they want to create a militarized Christianity. And I'm saying, no, let's not let them do that. Let's get the true Christianity to happen. And it comes with the non-aggression principle. It comes with not violence. It comes with changing people's hearts and minds. It comes with making people born again. It comes with self-sacrifice, not sacrificing others. Okay? I think if we can hijack that moment, this moment that's happening now, and get people to realize you're being played. Okay? If you want to have a relationship with God, great. Get to know Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him. But do not get corralled into joining an army and going to war over this. Because if you do that, then another crusade does happen. They've got you by the balls, because they'll point to that war and say, Look at the horrors of Abrahamic religions and other crusade. We know how bad it was last time, and look what's happened again. Clearly, Christianity is a problem, because that's what will be equated with it. And that's how they hijack narratives and control it for their own purposes. But if we can actually have a real revival and actually get right with God and repent, God will see that, and he will forgive the nation and hold back judgment on those nations if he can find just one righteous man. Okay, and we can show them a whole bunch of them. If we can try our best to show that we're not going to do it their way, we're not going to let the Satanists tell us how to be Christians. We're going to actually have a real relationship with the Father, pray to him directly through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the authority given to us to be members of the kingdom of heaven. If we claim our authority, take back control of the systems, we can have it. We can have it here. We can have it now. We can do that. Okay? And I think people are primed now, even these ex-atheist type, psychological, everything's ideological truthers out there, even they know, like, no, this is more than that. They're just too scared to say it, because they're worried about the ridicule the world will put upon them, because, oh, they've got all religious on us. But they know they need that God-shaped hole in their hearts to be filled. They know it. They know it. They're just too scared to admit it, because they don't want people to think less of them. It's time to get past that. And I think we can be as emboldened as we are to say the truth, can encourage those heavy movers in the truth community to also admit the truth, the way in the life is through Jesus Christ, and actually get that ball rolling to actually finally have those conversations. What about the spiritual warfare aspect to everything we're under? Okay. I know man has the capacity to be evil. Some human beings on this earth are just as bad as, if not worse than, demons. Even without possession or oppression of a demon themselves, it can happen. Mankind's capacity for evil is terrible and terrifying. But we cannot ignore the true spiritual warfare elements behind all of this, that there are powers and principalities at play here that are beyond our normal perception as humans. There is a spirit running through everything, and we need to start testing those spirits. It's not simply just metaphor or signs or symbol for ideas or ideologies. It's real, tangible consciousness working against us. A parasite, you could call it, in the spirit realm of our world. I think we can start bridging that gap. I think we start having those conversations, because it's become more apparent than ever. More apparent than ever. I mean, it's terrifyingly obvious that evil people are pulling the strings, who have agendas literally to kill us all and make everything terrible in order to establish their own new world order, where they get to live as gods above us all in their new transcendent human plus bodies of some kind, which is what AI is working towards. It's what robotics are working towards. It's what every single cryptocurrency and convergence of all technology is working towards. But we can work towards something spiritually while they do their worldly technological advancements towards their singularity. Let's have the truth singularity. Let's get everybody to the truth, and let's all these movements at once come together and converge into our own singularity, where nothing will ever be the same. Man makes plans, God laughs, and we can move through the earth as instruments of God and his kingdom, as messengers for the truth, and we can change things too. Just because they have a plan doesn't mean it has to come to fruition. It only comes into fruition in so much as we allow it to. And guess what? Magic tricks fall apart very quickly and have no power over anybody once you know how they work. In fact, they're pretty pathetic and lame once you know how they work, aren't they? Telling the truth destroys and reveals the magic trick. That's all they've got. All we have to do is tell the truth, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much persecution it puts upon us, and the magic falls apart. The illusion crumbles. They lose. And they know it. They know everything they have is built on an illusory house of cards, and a small gust of truthful wind is all it's going to take to make the whole thing collapse. They know that. That's why the control mechanism is so strong around media control, around illusory control, around artistic control. They need to control what goes into our eyes, therefore to our brains, therefore how we perceive reality. They have to constantly keep that under control, and it's oozing through their fingers now. They cannot control it. We're seeing through the illusion very quickly. And there's just some people who just need that final push, that final truth. It needs to be told to them bold and with confidence, and to give them the confidence to not be afraid to admit it too. God is real. The pride is a major issue of our time. I think there are too many intellectual types out there who are wonderful truth tellers in a worldly, earthly sense, who just are not willing to admit that God is real because they're scared of how people will perceive them, how they're going to be seen by their academic peers. I think the singularity is coming, and they're going to have to drop that soon. In fact, it would be intellectually dishonest and academically dishonest to deny God's existence by this point, to deny that that's what we're really up against by this point. You would have to be delusional not to see what's happening now. You'd have to be a supporter of the lie to continue going on as if everything's perfectly fine and normal, and that this isn't the situation we find ourselves in. So I see it. If we haven't already crossed that threshold, it's coming soon. The singularity of truth is, it's going to happen. There's going to be a point where there's no return. I think we've already kind of reached, it's in the air. That feeling I sensed earlier, it's there. Something's changed. Something has changed. And everybody knows now. They do. Some of them might not be able to describe it. Some of them might not be able to put a name on what it is they understand. For many, it might just be a gut feeling or a small voice in the back of their head screaming like, this isn't right. Wake up. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. It's there. But I think more and more people are at the level now where they're actually like, I see it. Then there's the level of capacity of how much can they voice that without losing everything. So now they have that internal battle happening of how much are they willing to lose for the truth? That's the questions I think a lot of people are asking themselves right now. And hopefully they're realizing, well, actually, what's on offer and what they currently own and have may be worth losing. Because there isn't going to be much for them in the future if it continues the way it is. Okay, I think a lot of people are realizing that too. I think the younger generations, I think generation, like maybe Alpha, this might be a good example of this when they grew up. But I think Gen Z might be a good canary in the coal mine example of what's coming down the pipeline with the current generations. But these are generations that are literally born into a world with no future. They know there's nothing for them in the future as it is. They know that as it was for many generations in the past, is not what's going to be for them. They know that. So they're going into the future and growing into this world with a completely different mindset than us. That's going to change things big time. And I think, again, I think that all goes towards this point in the future, this singularity moment. They'll have their technological singularity. We'll have the truth singularity. It's all going to come together at once. And I think God wins. I think the truth wins. And I think a new heaven and earth is right around the corner. I do. And how that's all going to play out is going to be wild. It's going to be a lot of twists and turns. There's going to be a lot of lies. There's going to be a great light show. Oh yeah, they're going to put on a fantastic, might even be lasers. Oh, they're definitely going to use lasers. They spent too much money to not use lasers by this point. But yeah, things are going to happen. Okay. But I think the truth will be obvious. And the big magic trick they've been working on for all these years, the big crescendo, the big end show they've been pumping billions and trillions of dollars into to make happen and make work and make the deception grand, is going to seem cheap and pathetic and worthless, and we're going to see right through it, and there's going to be no magic because we're going to understand the trick. We're going to know how they're doing it, and it's going to fall flat on its face. I think that's how it's all going to go down. I have hope. I have faith. I'm optimistic. I am. I know it might not seem like it sometimes, but I believe God wins. I don't think the enemy has won. I think they're already a defeated enemy. I think they're clutching at straws by this point, to be honest. We just have to make sure that we don't react when bad things happen in civilization. When you're reacting, you're not actually being your authentic self, are you? You're not actually thinking about what's going on. You're just whim to your emotion and impulses. Reactions are how they win. If they can get us reacting, good for them, because then they've already got the counter-reaction planned or the solution to our over-the-top reactions in the pipeline. You know, they're already working on it. They're like at least 3 steps ahead. But if we don't react, they'll be there like, oh, damn it. They didn't do what we needed them to do. And I think so long as we can just prolong our actions against their horrible actions, okay? So if we keep not reacting to things when they happen and we don't do what they want us to do, they lose more power each time and the structure crumbles more and more and more. And they just need us to do something. And as soon as we do something that they can frame in their way, they've got us for another 10 years. But if we can hold off on reacting for as long as possible, they get weaker and eventually they collapse and they know it. Okay? But as soon as we do something stupid in reaction, they can implement new laws, new controls, new stringent measures to make sure a reaction like that never happens ever again, or the horrors get repeated, and then they've got us under another control mechanism for at least a decade or two before they start waking up again and snapping out of it, or their power structure fails or the infrastructure fails a bit more. But they're weak now and they know it. They're losing control. And if we can just keep delaying that reaction they want from us, which is the bloody revolution Christian style, you know, crusade style, the longer we can put off the reactions, and they will do horrible things and they will send horrible people out there to do disgusting things, and the medias will tell us that this is happening and that's happening. They're gonna do everything they can to rile us up, but the longer we delay, the weaker they get, the more frail the system gets, the more it crumbles away, the more their members die. And the replacements aren't there. Their recruitment drops off. And eventually they just fizzle away with a whimper. That's probably more like how it's going to go, if we can take back that control. So yeah. There's my running idea. The truth of singularity. We may already have crossed it, or it's just around the corner. But I think we can start branching out and building our own truth army, shall we say, of people who just boldly proclaim the truth as it really is, physically and spiritually. Because the spiritual truthers and the physical truthers right now are not communicating with each other. Okay. And it's mainly because the physical truthers think we're crazy. But I think the truth is becoming more and more apparent now. And I think discourse is now needed. I think things need passing out. I think conversations need to be had. And I think we can do it. I think we can do it now. I think we're at that point. So join me. Everyone join me. Let's do this together. Okay. I'm going to go out there and try and talk to as many people as I possibly can on my channel, trying to bridge these gaps and build that rapport, build that community, strengthen it up. And I think the time is nigh, you know, that I think the situation is rife. I think the circumstances have aligned for us to be able to point to the world as it is and say, you really think this is all simply just man? Okay. And maybe we can start getting people to really be honest about the spiritual reality they're living in. Maybe admit that demonic experience they had when they were 12 that they've never told anybody before because they were worried about what people would think of them. Like, it was, I'll tell you now, I've said it before and I'll say it again, there is not one human being alive on this God-created earth that has not encountered the parasitical infection we call demons at some point. everybody has had a demonic experience. There's just varying degrees of how much they're willing to admit it. We need to foster an atmosphere where people can feel confident and safe to admit that it has happened to them. Okay, and the millions of testimonies will come flooding through once we get to that point. And I think we're already reaching that point. I think it's already happening. I think we're riding that wave now. Let's not let it just end. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. I think we're in a good position. And there you go. There's my positive message. Something that's just in my head. I needed to get it out. I don't know what. I don't really know what I just said. I just had to say it. And maybe I'll work on this a bit more. Maybe I'll flesh this out a little bit more in future videos as I kind of think about it. Maybe I'll write a book about this. Who knows how this is all going to pan out. But I'm going to take a quick break, guys. I'm going to have a quick drink and then we'll get back and I'll answer some questions and we'll have a bit of a conversation. So I'll leave it there. And here's a quick advert for you guys.
In a world where 54% of Americans read below a sixth grade level.
Could you read this?
It's impossible. I just see his words everywhere.
One man wrote a book about the hidden truth behind clowns.
I finally finished it.
Everything's gonna be okay now.
Links down below to the Amazon.
But he was about to find out.
Your primary market is the USA, and it ranks 36th in global literacy rates, with over 43 million adults unable to read or write.
Getting the truth to people is no day at the circus.
You know, sometimes I wonder if I'm the real clown.
Nobody reads anymore.
Have you considered recording an audiobook?
You're going to get a sore throat.
You're serious about this, aren't you?
You don't understand. I have to do this. The people have to know.
That book will ruin everything.
I will not use AI to record this.
We can't let him reach them.
This is just something I need to do. I don't even like clowns. The end.
Now they can hide that they're completely illiterate. This is amazing.
This season, playing on rectangular devices with black screens near you, the Nephilim looked like clowns. The audiobook.
This Saturnalia, imagine a world where the truth was accessible and relatable. Where red baubles on a Nimrod phallus are forever changed. A solstice celebration where conspiracy and intrigue carry you away. Experience The Nephilim Looked Like Clowns, the perfect book for your weird way of life. Direct from Europe, this highly rated research has warmed the hearts of millions in time for the frosty season. Be inspired by timeless biblical questions such as, what the hell is Satan's problem? Ham did what to Noah? Was the pre-flood world really that bad? And if classic questions aren't your thing, and you prefer your Yuletide to be extra occult, take a trip to the unknown with the spine-chilling Hatman to the psychedelic realm of demonic jesters. You'll get 20 obscure and tantalizing chapters. No other book gives you the feeling of pure vindication towards your childhood fear of clowns. Each paragraph brings the wonder of Christ's sacrifice into your home. For this commercialized nonsense holiday, there's no greater gift for your family than a guide to effective spiritual warfare. Order now and get that edgelord of a teenage child of yours to Christ this winter. Sometimes in this little season, it takes clowns to get them there. To get your copy, do not call the number on screen, which is being used as a placeholder reminder of a bygone time. And don't send a check to any P.O. Box, because this is not the 90s anymore. Simply type in The Nephilim Look Like Clowns on Amazon to get your copy just in time to lock yourself away from the world and wait out the pagan festivities.
And we're back. How are we all doing, guys? Let me just quickly move that this way a little bit. I'm not quite centralized enough. There we go. Yeah, so a couple of adverts there. If you guys would like a copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, a hard copy signed by me, I do have some left, so email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com for a signed copy. There's currently £10 off for December. So you get a paperback for £40 and a hardcover for £50, and that's anywhere in the world. I'll ship it out to you. And that's just the flat rate. That's the cost. So if you're interested, email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. It's one of the best ways to support me, and you get something in return as well. Or you can just go to Amazon and buy a copy if you want, if you don't want it signed. Or you can go on Audible now to get the audiobook, as you just saw my advert for there. But yeah, looking at the chat, it seems like people liked my little tirade there. I kind of went off on one. It was a bit of a stream of consciousness talk. It feels good to do one of those again. I've had a week off of that, and I've had some thoughts knocking about. Do you have any soft copies to sign? I do. I've got some paperbacks here if you want a paperback to sign. Again, that's £40, but I do have some hardcovers left as well if you're interested. Yeah, you just email me. Carmen is in the chat. Carmen Studio, if you haven't checked out her channel, go and check it out. She's in the chat. She says, I love the studio look, Paul, bravo. Thank you. Yeah, I've slowly been molding it into the shape I need. I've got a bit of dead space here. I can gesticulate my arms in to kind of fill that void as I talk. I'm working on it. I don't know, maybe the angle's not quite right. I do like it being able to see the Understanding Conspiracy here. Maybe I need to put a plant a bit closer into this gap, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe another plant. Maybe I'll just put plants everywhere. I'll just surround myself with plants. Need to be two in the way. Thanks, Carmen. I appreciate you being here. If you've just joined, you did just miss the main bulk of the show. I've just spent the last hour ranting like a madman about some crazy idea I've got in my mind, so go back and check that out if you want, and yeah, catch up with this. But this is just going to be like a bit of a Q&A session now, so if you guys have anything you want to say, anything you want to ask, now's your chance. It is coming up to midnight for me, so maybe I'll go for 20 minutes more, something like that, give or take. I say that, but I end up going for a couple of hours when I do this. But yeah, if you guys want to get anything in, let me know. I didn't include it in my email to you. Please put me down for a signed copy and tell me how to purchase. Thank you. Yeah, so if you do want a signed copy, Sailor Boy, it's just you pay to my PayPal. That's just how I do international transactions. I don't have another choice because I'm in the UK. And it's just £40 for paperback and £50 for hardcover. But just make sure to leave me your shipping details and I can get that out to you ASAP. I do have two books that people have already bought that I need to ship out. So I'll just do it with that batch. And for those people listening who did buy a book this month, I will get it out to you as soon as possible. But like I said, my son almost died last week and everything just got delayed. So I'm really sorry for the delay, but I will be shipping out any books that ordered in December within the next week. So if you want to get that in now for this next batch going out, just email me and get it sorted. And I'll send it in an email, Sailor Boy, anyway. I'll send you a clown painting for your void background. Fan art rocks. Maybe I'll do like a replacement picture here every week or something. Yeah, that could be fun. Who knows? The font for Understanding in neon looks crazy lit up at first glance. It looks like something added in post, but we know it isn't. Well, the thing is about this light, it's got varying degrees of like brightness. So I can make it brighter, but it looks a bit too intense when you get it too bright. And it kind of illuminates too much in this area, I find. But then if you go to like full brightness, you can't even see the image anymore. I think that's just a bit too intense. If you bring it down, it does seem to get better. But if you go too dark, can you see that blue outline that appears on the neon? I don't quite like that. I do like this, where you can actually see the slight different colours, but it just seems too bright. If you go too dim, look how dark that understanding goes. You can't even see it, can you? So you get it with the slight outline, or you can get like this middle ground where it does have an outline, but it's at least two different colours and the understanding is at least defined. So I think that's the best level that I've discovered for it so far. But I'm working on it. You know, I'm working on it. LED neon? No, it's, I think it's... Yeah, it might be LED neon. I don't know. I don't know. I like it, though. I'm happy with it. I think it's like acrylic, and there's actually wires between each letter connecting them all together. I don't know if it's been gassed or not. I'm not sure what kind of neon it actually is. I don't really know the science behind it, to be honest, but I like, I'm just going to leave it as it is, you know? The truth you are talking about is this, the gospel truth, salvation, love, and caring for one another, reaching out to pull them up, or the evil baby eating Satan is trying to kill us truth. Yeah, I know, right? Well, yeah, I think the basic message is that simple and powerful, you know, just love one another. And you'll be surprised how far that can go in this world. Like, it can change everything. It can, at least, if not on the mass scale, on an individual level, somebody just experiencing unconditional love can change their life, because it's seldom experienced in this world, this day and age, or ever, really. You'd be surprised by simply just asking somebody how their day is going can change somebody's life. Like, it's powerful stuff. Human interaction, like the sense of feeling like somebody cares, is our most powerful tool for convincing people of the truth. And love really is it. I mean, real love as well, not just like taking the easy way out type of love, you know, like just telling people what they want to hear. I'm talking about like tough love as well, but just real love, self-sacrificial love, is radical in this world. It's a radical thing to do. And you will make enemies doing it. That's how fallen this world is, and how scared those in power of many authoritative positions on the earth are of people being happy and feeling love and having community and a sense of identity and self. The weaker people are, the more in fear people are, the more scared people are, the more opportunity there is for bad people to take advantage and gain power through selling solutions that are snake oil. Happy, confident, knowledgeable, healthy people can't be controlled. And they know it. And that's why they're scared of people loving one another and telling the truth. Because they will lose power. And sometimes that's institutional positions of power. And sometimes it's just some guy out there who's got a nice little congregation of followers. And someone comes along and tells the truth that shatters his authority. And he doesn't like that. So they might even try and kill you. You know, just to shut you up because you're affecting their bottom line. That's just how this, that's how the world's structured. There's many macro and microcosms of that kind of power dynamic happening everywhere. So no matter where you are on the earth, if you tell the truth, you're a threat to somebody's power structure somewhere. That puts a target on you. And Christ warned us about that. You know, and he showed you just how far that can go. And the question then is, how far are you willing to go? How much are you willing to sacrifice for the truth? And that's a question each and every one of us kind of has to ask ourselves. And maybe we all do have limits. But if so many people are doing it en masse, perhaps our each individual sacrifice doesn't have to be as great. Perhaps we can share the burden between us all as the body of Christ, rather than taking it all onto one person again. As Christ has already done for us, and it's through that sacrifice, he gave us a way to God, to heaven, to the kingdom of God, to be members in the kingdom and to have our life, our names written in the book of life, to avoid that final judgment for our sins. Like, that's incredible. Like, and not, I don't think any of us can ever truly, we can't do what he's done, but we can try our best. And thank God for grace. Thank God for that forgiveness, because we are going to fall short. Like, we are going to have moments of weakness. We might deny his name 3 times as the cock crows. Like, we could be, it could be a pizza situation when push comes to shove, but we are forgiven because God knows and loves us, and he knows what we're capable of. And I don't think he'll give anybody what they're not capable of. And no, that is written, that whatever trials and tribulations come our way, he knows we can endure it. And trials and tribulations as well build character. We should rejoice in them as they come. I know it's hard at the time to do that, but after it's all done and dusted and the emotions have settled, you will be stronger for it. You will also be stronger for it. But be careful what you wish for. Like, you know, there's people out there wishing for trials and tribulations. Make me stronger, you know, God. And it's kind of... you know, you don't just ask God for things frivolously. Trust me. Like, he will deliver. You've got to be careful what you're asking him for. That's why I said, each and every one of you has to ask yourself, how much am I actually willing to sacrifice? You know, you do have to be careful. PLP423. Hey, Paul, we need to hook up again. PLP423. I don't recognize that name. Everything's changed now since YouTube changed everyone's name to the handle instead. So you have to remind me when we hooked up the first time, PLP. I'm not sure. Just remind me, please. I'm fighting the hardest battles. Put down the phone and go on a walk, man. Yeah, I think there's a rising number of people in the truth community who seriously need to go and touch some grass. Like, I'm noticing that as well lately. That's because there's a lot of newbies in the truth community now, I think, who have like lost their minds over the past like 2 years, just couched up in the dark room and staring at their screen, just absorbing all the horrors of the universe. And I think they're now coming out teaching everything they've learned, and they look disheveled and crazy. It's time to go take a break, touch some grass, get back in touch with God, get some of that Holy Spirit grounding, and then come back into the world and start teaching. You know, we all have to do it. It's one of my tips. Can I write down how they recommend it? Oh, Prometheus Lens. Yeah. Oh, okay. Dude, yeah, I remember you now. Yeah. All right. Doc Brown. Yeah, get back in touch, man. I actually follow you on Instagram. I do see some of your clips every now and then, everything. You seem to be going pretty hard right now, don't you? Yeah, get back in touch, man. We'll definitely do it again. Just send me an email, understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. Question, if hypnosis is a demonic door, why does God put people in trances, deep sleeps in the Bible? Is going into trance always dangerous, or can it heal the subconscious? Well, I think, like most spiritual things, it's not that the spiritual mechanism of being in a trance or a deep sleep or exploring the spirit realm or, let's say in dreams, you know, remote viewing or detaching ourselves from our bodies or anything like that, is inherently bad or something we were not supposed to do in a technical sense. Like, we are capable of doing those things because I think our bodies are designed to be able to do that type of stuff. I think the issue is that humans are so corrupt and sinful that those who do it abuse it, or use it not for the purpose of glorifying God or becoming better or doing good, but often people use that power and skill and ability to abuse others or lord power over others or for selfish personal gains. So that's the first problem, which is why it's best just not to do it at all, because if you are going to dabble in that kind of thing, you will probably do more damage than good in your fallen state. That's the issue. The other issue is the spirit realm is infested with demons. So the environment of the spirit realm itself might not be inherently bad, but the occupants of that environment are. And if you go there, you are putting yourself in harm's way. So there's twofold. Bad, malevolent beings waiting there to manipulate you, lie to you, or hurt you. And human beings being inherently sinful and corrupt and selfish, using these skills such as hypnosis for their own benefit rather than to help people. So it's one of those. It's a double-edged sword. It can be used for good or it can be used for bad. Predominantly ends up being used for bad every time. But when God does it, he's a righteous, holy God. He is good, inherently. He gets a pass. Okay, so I'll leave it at that. Ask God for wisdom. Now I'm more isolated mentally than ever before in my life. Yeah, well, you shouldn't have asked God for wisdom. Ignorance was bliss, right? That's your own fault. You've got no one to blame but yourself, Vincent. The increase in truth is due to the disclosure setting mankind up for the solution. Yeah, I think there is a externalization of the hierarchy at play. Absolutely. There's an orchestrated drip-feed release of information. And they're trying to direct those people who are waking up to the truths of reality down their new age spiritualist path. But I think we can hijack their agenda and send them down to the only truth way in the life, which is Jesus Christ. Instead, we can do that. It's just how much are you willing to profess the truth and how much are you willing to lose to make people know the truth. That's what Jesus Christ is asking of you, because the world rejected him and they will reject you for telling the truth. But the world can suck it. Who cares anyway? What's the world got to offer us? Let's build the kingdom of heaven on earth instead. Let's manifest. Let's do it. I believe that verse is only for Christians, because before coming Christian, I was definitely tempted more than I could handle. Yeah, I mean, once the devil's got you, he'll do what he wants, you know. Usually people who are not aware of the truth of Christianity and living in some kind of addiction or sin or temptation don't think there's anything wrong with what they're doing or even worried about it. They're glad for the temptations because it's more fun, you know, it's that type of thing, or more to do, you know, or more things to indulge in. But once you're a Christian, those temptations I find are no longer tempting. That's the beautiful thing about being born again. Now, there'll still be some things that the flesh will just pull towards and you'll find hard to resist, and you will have to resist the flesh. And it's what you resist in private when it's just you that counts, not what you publicly show yourself to be doing or anything like that. Who cares about it? God doesn't care about that. You know, it's all just a show, isn't it? But when you're alone, and let's say, you know, just as a night, you're a bit of a glutton in the past, and you're trying to resist eating a full cake every single day or something like that. It's something you just always did, which is, you know, it's bad for you and terrible for you and excessive and just wrong in many ways, you know. I'm giving a very tame example here, okay? But say that moment you're alone in the kitchen and that piece of cake's right there in front of you. And the temptation's hard. Everything is screaming, eat the thing. Eat it. You know you want to. Just do it. Do it. And you're like, you're going towards it and you're like, you're shaking. Because you're like, I have to do it. I have to do this thing. I need to do it. You know, and you can replace cake with any addiction, by the way. This is, I'm just being clean for the kids. and is screaming at you, like, if you don't do it now, you're going to feel like shit. Everything's going to be terrible. You don't want to feel like that. You've got to do it. It'll make you feel better. Like, just do it. Just do that thing. And if you just say, resist and go, no. And you pray, distract yourself, do something else. It's in those moments when you're alone that God notices. And in those little moments of self-control, you get stronger every time. Until that temptation has nothing over you anymore. But you have to resist it. Resist it once, you know you have the strength to do it again. Okay? And it's that process of resisting temptation that makes you stronger as the time goes on. And God will, I think he will put things in front of you every now and then to see if you really are legitimate, you know. And often if you like get haughty or proud, you know, he'll put the temptation in front of you to see if you're actually all talk or not as well. And just simply to humble you. It won't be a salvation issue if you're saved again, but to show you, it's like God will show you, you know, you still have work to do, you know. And again, it's not going to save you doing that work, but he wants you to know, it's like, you know, you are not perfect. You have problems and it would be better for you to fix them. And you'll be healthier and happier in the long run if you do. But it's those moments where you're alone that count, not when people are watching. It's those moments of resistance to sin and temptation when nobody else sees it. Just God is watching. You need to remember that, you know. And yeah, I think we all have those moments. We all have those moments still. We're not perfect, you know. Trust your intuition equally. We're made in the image of God. I love cake, says April Parker. I love cake too, but you know, I think it's that problem when it becomes like an addiction is where there's a problem. All things in equal measure, you know. But if you're like, if you're eating 3 slices of cake a day, you need to lower your cake intake, man. You know what I mean? you're gonna die. It's gonna kill you. It is killing you. That's the point, isn't it? But you know, you can have too much of a good thing. That is true. Really, it's sugar we're talking about here, isn't it? But again, that's a tame addiction. That's like the last level addiction you need to deal with after you've dealt with the meth addiction, you know what I mean? Let's deal with the alcoholism, the meth, the weed smoking, the cigarettes, and then we'll start worrying about sugar and coffee. You know? Let's just deal with all the other things first. But yeah, you know what I mean. It's not a test, but it's a test. Something like that, yeah. Know your authority. Or no authority. That's right, Wendy. I agree. Derek Prince talks a lot about being humble. Yeah, Derek Prince was a huge early teacher of mine. Definitely, like, he was a fantastic teacher. The only thing good about DMT and others is the ego death. That's what brought me back. So a bad idea brought me to God, as it did with you. So how do we say it's bad if it's waking people up? Well, God can turn all things for good and to his glory, you know, and he chooses who he wants to wake up in his own time, I think. And if that's what it took for him to get to you, then he'll use it to get to you. But he doesn't then go and continue to do DMT afterwards. Why not? He brought you to me, right? No, he comes with a hefty warning. He says, you got lucky this time that I was there to find you. But if you go back there, I won't be there to protect you that time. Because you should know better now. That's how it works, you know. And in terms of ego death, yeah, I understand that feeling in that sense while you're there. But I think that's a bit of a lie. And I think there's nothing more egotistical than thinking you've lost your ego. You know, so just be careful with that kind of thought. Wasn't Derek Prince Freemason? I don't think Derek... If he was a Freemason, I don't know. But his teachings on Jesus Christ are fantastic. Yeah. And spiritual warfare as well. The weird thing about lust increasing at that time, it would make sense with parasites as they want to spread other hosts through intercourse. I missed something there, didn't I? Okay. Never heard Mr. Prince mention he was a Freemason. Pretty sure he would be against joining. Yeah, I don't remember anything about Derek Prince being a Freemason. I mean, there are plenty of Freemasons as well who are I think, honest men of God who don't really know what they're involved with or what the higher levels in that fraternity are involved with. I think they're the shield to protect the Freemasonic order, like, not just a bunch of Christian men having a bit of a boys' club working together for charity, you know. They have to have those genuine people who join who think that's what's going on. But the Bible does make it clear, you know, you don't make secret oaths at all. Don't swear on anything. Like, it's wrong. And, you know, you can't serve two masters and have no other God before him as well. And the Freemasonry inevitably leads down all of those issues, all of those problems. So I think Derek Prince would have been wise enough to know not to make oaths in secret. Like, I imagine if he was a true man of God. He preached against Freemasonry. Well, there you go. Yeah, I imagine so. He gave me, when I listened to him in my early days, he gave me no indication that he was a part of anything like that. Just watch the man tear up just talking about salvation. Like, it's enough to show you that this man really loves Jesus and God, and inspired me as well. And even I tear up when I start talking about or reading like John. Yeah, it gets me. That's why I don't read much scripture. Like, I'm an emotional wreck. And right now I'm especially an emotional wreck because my son almost died. So I'm kind of a bit like all over the place. Paul, what's your next book, sir? It's The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, Volume 2, The Now. I am chugging my way through that when I can. I'm hoping I can get it done within the next 6 months. That's kind of my own personal deadline, but it's hard. It's really hard to write a book and to find the time with two children as well. I'm not going to lie, but I'm trying my best. I am getting more writing done lately. I'm getting a paragraph or a chapter done a day and whatever I can here and there. And I am setting more time aside where I can get like 3 hours writing in it every Tuesday and Friday by pre-recording interviews and releasing them. So I don't have time to make many more videos as well. I'm going to try and make more clips as well of these live shows to fill that time too, so I can just take more time off to write without losing income and what I need to feed my family and keep a roof over my head as well, you know. So it's a bit of a balancing act, but I'm getting there. And then after that, who knows, maybe I'll write a book called The Truth of Singularity from the looks of it. Yeah, I'm going to trademark that now before someone steals it. Right, guys, just let me check the timing here. It's kind of, for some reason, OBS, the software I use, has decided to change everything, and now I'm all over the place. Right, I've been going for an hour and a half. That's a good time for me. It's now 17 minutes past midnight, so I think I might end the show there, guys. I don't think there's much else for me to say. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate you all being here. I hope you enjoyed my little thought experiment there at the start. I will be back on Wednesday for a live Q&A, hopefully. I do also have someone to talk to that day. I think I'm talking to Scott Helmer, a musician for the other channel, the Understanding Creativity channel. So that should be coming out soon as well. Have you ever considered doing a show with Gary Wayne? MC Pekalia, I answered that question yesterday, if you missed it already. I have already done two shows with Gary Wayne on my channel. Go and search Gary Wayne on my channel and you will find them. Yes. So there you go. Quick last question answered there. And also Gary Wayne got a special thank you at the end of my book. He was a huge inspiration and a huge help as well in getting it written and out. He gave me some good advice. So yeah, I know. I do know Gary. And we might disagree a little bit on eschatology, but I completely agree with him on everything else when it comes to the Nephilim and biblical history. Pre-flood and post-flood too. So there we go. So yeah, I'll be back soon on Wednesday for a live Q&A, and I'll be doing some stuff in between. You might see a clip of this show coming out in the middle of the week too. If you do want to get a signed copy, email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. I'll close this show out with another advert as well. But other than that, guys, thanks for listening, and as always, God bless.
This Saturnalia. Imagine a world where the truth was accessible and relatable. Where red baubles on a Nimrod phallus are forever changed. A solstice celebration where conspiracy and intrigue carry you away. Experience The Nephilim Looked Like Clowns, the perfect book for your weird way of life. direct from Europe, this highly rated research has warmed the hearts of millions in time for the frosty season. Be inspired by timeless biblical questions such as, what the hell is Satan's problem? Ham did what to Noah? Was the pre-flood world really that bad? And if classic questions aren't your thing, and you prefer your Yuletide to be extra occult, take a trip to the unknown with the spine-chilling Hatman to the psychedelic realm of demonic jesters. You'll get 20 obscure and tantalizing chapters. No other book gives you the feeling of pure vindication towards your childhood fear of clowns. Each paragraph brings the wonder of Christ's sacrifice into your home. For this commercialized nonsense holiday, there's no greater gift for your family than a guide to effective spiritual warfare. Order now and get that edgelord of a teenage child of yours to Christ this winter. Sometimes in this little season, it takes clowns to get them there. To get your copy, do not call the number on screen, which is being used as a placeholder reminder of a bygone time. And don't send a check to any P.O. box, because this is not the 90s anymore. Simply type in the Nephilim Look Like Clowns on Amazon to get your copy just in time to lock yourself away from the world and wait out the pagan festivities.